It's time now for the KUND Bear Grease Report.
This Bear Grease Report brought to you by the Trail Center Lodge up north on the Gunflint Trail and Energy Plus of Duluth.
So the question from this morning is, Ryan Reddington, can he keep up the pace and can others close that gap? We've got Jason Rice on the phone with us, the Bear Grease Race Director and former musher. Good afternoon, Jason. How are you?
Doing all right. Thank you.
So Ryan, he is a little short on dogs, I understand. His team has gotten a little smaller. That's probably slowed him down. Looking at the last couple of hours, his mile per hour rate is about a mile per hour slower than everybody else. Are they starting to close that gap?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, that there are a couple of quirks going on with our timing program on that you're seeing if you're watching the race timing sheets on the Bear Grease website. So we're working on that right now. But I can tell you that based on the in and out times, the out time coming from Skyport and the in time coming into Sawbill, where we've just had several teams come in, it looks like Ryan Reddington made that run in about 4 hours and 16 minutes, as long as those times are correct. And that puts him actually in a pretty good time. It's much, much slower than usual. That's only a 34-mile run. And normally, 34 miles, they could do that section in about 3 hours. So this is clearly, we're seeing an impact from the snow last night. Also, times in Matthew Schmidt from Grand Marais, he made that run in 4 hours and 13 minutes. Colleen Wallen of Two Harbors made that run in 4 hours 29 minutes. You can see that that top pack are all having some issues making it through. Now, here's one thing I will note. It's interesting, now that we start to see some other top teams coming in, Ryan Reddington's team, with only 7 dogs, has apparently held up quite competitively to the other dog teams. Colleen Wallen was running 12 dogs. I think Matthew Schmidt was running 11 or 12 dogs. So he seems to be able to do quite well with his 7. The real question now, for me, as a trained observer of this race, I would be wondering if he can hang on to all 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's really going to be a question. He's going to have to lay down, catch up on rest. He did make up a little bit of rest time up at the Skyport checkpoint. Looks like he made up about an hour of rest that he was lacking compared to some of the other people chasing him.
Yeah.
But he will still need to make up at least another hour. And with 7 dogs pulling through some loose snow and through the hills, 7 dogs, the distribution of labor is going to be a little bit greater demand on each of those dogs than a team with, say, 12 dogs like Colleen pulling down the trail.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll really get a clearer picture as they depart Sawbill today. I think we'll really see exactly where everybody stands and what they've got. Ryan, you know, it would be safe to say that he's got a challenge in front of him. If he's going to try and keep up this pace with 7 dogs, it can be done. Okay, I'm not doubting him. It can be done. It is difficult, and it takes finally managing your team and praying that nothing goes wrong in between there and the finish line. He's got a serious challenge coming from Colleen Wallen and from Matthew Schmidt. Can't rule out Ryan Anderson either, although Ryan wants to play things somewhat safe so that all of his dogs are going to be in great spirits and great health to go to the Iditarod.
Okay, so has Ryan Reddington, he's arrived at Sawbill now? It looks like he's been just before Sawbill on that map for some time, or is that a chip issue we're having right now?
Well, actually, if you're looking at the GPS tracker, what you're seeing there is he checked in there quite some time ago, actually.
Okay.
So let's see, he checked into Sawbill just after 12:08 he checked into Sawbill. What you're seeing by looking at his peg on the map is where he and his team are bedded down. The GPS tracker is on the sled, and we park them in the wood. They're kind of hidden in the trees, not right on the exact point on the map that says checkpoint. So he is at the checkpoint. He is resting. I would anticipate probably at least a 4-hour nap there, maybe longer. One thing that they're going to try and avoid today is running too much during the hot part of the day. If they can wait it out a little bit during the warmest part of the day and start as the temperatures begin to drop again to lower 20s from the upper 20s, that makes a really big difference on how the dogs physically handle the run. And I would look for teams to really try and speed it up this evening, especially after the sun goes down.
Right. Well, we've got some cloud cover right now. That must help out a little bit.
That does help a little bit. The ambient air temperature, though, climbing to those upper 20s, versus, say, a flat-out 20 or a 19. Okay, that 10-degree difference, let's imagine running, let's put it in terms people can understand. Imagine running Grandma's Marathon at 72 degrees, pretty comfortable human temperature. Now let's imagine running Grandma's Marathon at 82 degrees. It's quite a different thing. Your hydration is going to be greatly affected by that difference, and also, you know, your fatigue factor. There's a little bit of wind that the dogs can feel out there. You know, that doesn't register in the as far as ambient temperature, and inanimate objects don't feel wind chill, but living things do. So the dogs can feel a little bit of refreshment from some of the breezes that are up there in the Sawtooth Mountains.
Well, we'll hopefully see some finishing tomorrow morning. It looks like they're not going to be ahead of the traditional pace, though. We'll probably see a finish sometime in the 6 or 7 o'clock hour, perhaps.
Yeah, it's really going to be a lot different this year. I mean, we've had a couple of things different. We had, we had this little weather wrinkle thrown in with some fresh snow coming. We had the wrinkle of an 8-hour layover up in Grand Portage, but that added a 6-mile uphill stretch as they were coming off of that 8-hour rest. And doing that uphill stretch in fresh snow, then you've got the Ryan Reddington factor, just doing things his own way. So it's a very, very different race this year. But I think that because of the snow and looking at those run times being about an hour to an hour and a half slower than normal, I think we're probably, if that continues and the next run is also an hour slower, I think that means we're probably looking at closer to an 8 or 9 a.m. finish.
Okay. Well, that's a surprise. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on it, and I guess we'll have a talk to you tomorrow morning, perhaps right around that magic moment when they come across the line at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, well, again, don't get your hopes up for 8. This is a dog race, and unfortunately, we can't predict what all is going to happen out there.
Of course.
What we're not seeing is those exact differences in snow depth from one part of the trail to another. You could have 1 inch in one place, and you could have 5 in another. I think we're seeing some thicker depths further north here as they're coming into Sawville.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll check in with you tomorrow morning then.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care, Jason. Jason Rice, the Bear Grease race director at Former Musher, commenting on the last couple of legs of the race now as we head into the next 12 and a half hours. We'll hopefully see some finishes tomorrow morning, perhaps during Northland morning. But either way, we'll have a live from Bear Grease Report at 8 a.m. to speak with Jason again about what happened overnight and hopefully some news about some potential finishes, or perhaps if somebody's crossed the line at that point, we'll hear about it as well. That's tomorrow morning right here on 103.3 KUMD.
This KUMD Bear Grease Report is brought to you by Bearskin Lodge, midway up the Gunflint Trail, and by Energy Plus of Duluth.